Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Got Seth here.
Good morning.
Melissa over there.
Good morning.
And James Day here, 9:05 on the clock. And we hope you're having a great start to your day out there. Thanks for kicking it off with us, everybody. We got some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day coming up for you. We'll get to all of that. Right now, I want to dive into kind of some wise tales, urban legends. I mean, throw whatever kind of name you want at these. Mm. Thought it'd be kind of fun to go through some of them. Now, it came up. Because the other day, of course, over the weekend here in central Wisconsin, and really throughout the whole state, we just got bombarded by rain.
Drenching, yes.
I'd say Saturday, it didn't seem like there was 5 seconds where it wasn't raining.
Yeah.
This is one of those kind of things. I did not remember to bring an umbrella or anything. And I got thinking about that.
Yeah.
And got thinking about umbrellas and my mom and her superstitions and all these things. And I remember as a kid, she gave me an umbrella, and I'm getting ready to take it to school, and I wanted to see if it worked, and I was going to open it in the house, and she flipped out. I haven't seen that woman move that fast that many times in life, but she was over there with her hand around the umbrella so it couldn't open.
Wow.
And she just was looking at me. She's like, Jimmy, you just don't do that. You don't open umbrellas enough. And I just remember looking at her. I'm like a kid and everything. Okay, Mom, you know, I won't do that again, you know? And I've always wondered where that comes from. You know?
It's a great one.
Where does that come? Why opening umbrella indoors is bad luck? Well, it turns out it goes back to my people, the Egyptians.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Legend has it that ancient Egyptians believed that opening an umbrella indoors away from the sun was a disrespectful act that would anger the sun god, who would then take out his anger on everyone in the house in which the umbrella had been opened.
How dare you? How dare you?
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's wow.
Egyptian.
I didn't realize it was that old. Back. Yeah, that's going way back. My goodness.
Mm-hmm. Just fascinating, isn't it?
It is. Wow.
But we can't stop there.
No.
That's just one. We got to go through some more of these.
We need more.
So there are more wise tales to go over, and we got the fact and fiction of all of the ones that we're going to get to here.
Okay.
Like, let's touch on, you can't swim after eating or you may drown.
Oh, I heard that one as a kid.
Is this a old wives' tale, though, or is it fact?
Mm. The old wives' tale that you can't swim after eating is not actually true, although you've probably heard your mother say it's countless times.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling moms they're wrong. I'm not going to be the guy to do that. So this myth assumes that after eating, the body diverts blood from your limbs to the digestive tract, depleting your arms and legs of enough blood to swim. While it is true that digestion requires extra blood, the body does not drain the limbs of enough blood to work properly.
The circulatory system doesn't work that way.
Yeah. According to Duke Health, the worst thing that could happen from swimming after eating is a small, harmless cramp.
There you go. We know.
Not a cramp bad enough to make you drown.
Drown, right.
The next step to these is finding out who started this.
Yes.
Or where it started.
Yes. Where did it come from?
Most of them, good luck finding, you know.
Yeah, the lost to time.
Mm. Mm-hmm. How about this one? And I remember this from when my children were going to be born and everything. The old wives' tale, if you're carrying high, it's a girl. If you're carrying low, it's a boy.
Mm, yeah. Mm.
Many expecting parents want to be surprised by the sex of their baby, adding a layer of suspense to their 9-month journey. Yet even the strongest wills can be tantalized by anticipation.
Oh, yeah.
With many parents wondering if the abage is, is you carrying a high or you carrying low or that. Well, according to Adina Holland Keller, MD, associate chief of Obgyn at Northern Westchester Hospital, and a private practitioner, she said, when a woman is pregnant, you can't tell the sex of the baby based on how the woman is carrying the baby.
Right.
If a woman looks like she is carrying high or low, it is based on the size and position of the baby and the shape of her pelvis. Unfortunately, the only verified ways to uncover the sex of your baby is to ask your doctor what the ultrasound shows.
Exactly.
Or wait until the big day.
Or wait.
Or that.
See, yeah, you're going to try. You're going to try.
Did you guys wait with the boys, Seth?
No, we did not wait. We decided for a number of reasons that we wanted to know, mostly because we knew that we would be getting baby clothes. And we thought, well, we'll give them something to work with here. It's going to be boys and everything. And I don't want to jump in here too much, but I did want to say there was an old wives' tale about babies, again, that we actually found out to be true. If your baby is going to have hair, the woman has heartburn. Bad heartburn if the baby's going to be born with hair, and if not, they don't. Well, we found out with Roan that Roan did not have any hair when he was born, and Beth did not have heartburn. With Anders, she did, and he did have hair when he was born. A couple years ago, I think John Hopkins did a study on this, and they found out that it's actually true. 62% or something like that said that, yes, when the babies were born, they had hair. So there is something to that. Wow. There is some actual science behind that, which is cool.
That is really interesting.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
A lot of moms wanting bald babies.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yes.
In bullfights, there is a traditional red flag that the matador dangles in front of his bull opponent, challenging it to charge. While many people believe that the bull chases the flag because of its inherent hatred of the color red, this is not actually true. Bulls, like all cattle, are colorblind.
That's right.
Animal behavior and animal rights author Temple Grandin writes in Improving Animal Welfare that the retina of the cattle is actually most sensitive to yellowish green and bluish purple light. The retina lacks a receptor for red.
There you go.
In reality, the bulls are equally as bothered by green and blue flags as they are by red ones.
Or maybe it's all the things that are stuck in their back to make them angry.
Maybe it's one of the cruelest things that we've ever done as human beings. Maybe it's that angers bulls.
Yeah, maybe that's what makes them a little angry.
Yeah. You should always follow the 5-second rule. The 5-second the 5-second rule.
Everyone knows what that is, right?
Yes. I almost don't even want to know if it's true or not. I kind of like knowing it.
He wants to believe.
If you've ever let a snack slip from your fingers, you've probably thought about following the 5-second rule. We all have that 2 seconds of the 5-second rule where you debate whether or not you're going to go for it or not. You've already wasted 2 of the 5 seconds.
You are so right.
This well-known rule implies that food can lie on the ground for 5 seconds long before becoming contaminated by bacteria. And yes, as many of you probably know, unfortunately, there is no scientific evidence of a golden window in which food can be...
A convenient excuse.
It is.
It is.
I love the idea of bacteria sitting on the floor.
Like,
No, you can't go yet. You got to wait 5 seconds. You can't go yet. All right, and now.
Tommy counted fast.
Oh, I picked it up. Ah, we were so close. All this poor bacteria just sitting on the floor. Just
so hungry, you know.
Waiting for cookies and popcorn. Eating food that's fallen to the ground does come with a risk of taking in bacteria known to cause food poisoning, says Alfrey Crossley, a MD, MPhD. Research shows food will instantly pick up bacteria from the surface it lands on. This comes from a 2016 study.
Yes, that one has been burst for a while.
Mm-hmm. I love this next one. And I'm afraid that it's true. I don't want it to be true because my mother will be right. It takes 7 years to digest a piece of gum.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
You probably worry about this one each time your gum loses its flavor and there's no trash in sight. Well, it is true that the synthetic portion of chewing gum is ingestible by the human body. It does not just sit in your stomach for several years.
No.
Instead, your stomach periodically empties its waste into a small intestine, which soon passes it along to the colon. Within about a week, that swallowed gum will reemerge. Where you know it emerges.
Where it goes, yep.
Yeah.
Still, a week is a long time.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Don't try to sugarcoat it. It's not. It's baloney. Come on now.
It's still, I don't want something in my stomach for a week. Ew.
They said it could stay there. I don't think it even does that long. So come on now. Jeez. What are you guys telling me?
How about this one? You may have heard this often when you were younger. Each time you tried to get a sip of your parents' coffee. Does coffee stunt your growth?
Oh, the classic.
My Nana was a nurse, and when I was little, trying to be my papa, basically, first moving out here, and my papa would drink his black coffee and read his paper, and I would have a black cup of coffee and sip at it. I never finished a cup.
Oh, no.
But I would, sip at it and stuff. And Nana would always look at me and say, Jimmy, going to mess with your growth. It's going to mess with your growth. I'm 6'1". I'm 6'1".
Living proof.
Like, I look like a walking living scarecrow. John, according to John Hopkins, the caffeine present in coffee will not affect children's growth patterns. Furthermore, limited coffee consumption is actually linked to numerous health benefits, such as reduced risk of type 2 diabetes, abnormal health, heart rhythms, strokes, certain cancers, and many other diseases. Thank you, coffee.
Okay, but the key word there is limited.
don't get with the details. We're not worried about that.
I had to deflate James' balloon. I just had to.
Coffee is wonderful. It is great, and it just keeps giving to us.
It does.
Thank you, coffee.
As I hug my cup right now. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. We have to love our coffee.
Everybody hug your coffee right now.
That's right.
Say, thank you, coffee.
It makes it feel better.
Haven't appreciated you enough, coffee. one more for you here. We've got a couple of more of these, but we're actually going to save some and we'll come back to them another day. I love this next one. I really wanted to wrap up on. You may be familiar with the 10% myth, a common misconception that humans are only capable of using 10% of their brains.
Yeah, right.
Ooh. Yeah.
Well, a 2013 review in Psychology, Learning, and Teaching found that this one of the most common public misconceptions. This belief is often cited by people who claim to have psychic powers or access to untapped parts of the brain, and even served as the storyline of the 2014 film Lucy. Not a great movie, but not horrible either.
No.
Like you did, Scarlett Johansson, I believe.
Yes, she was the star of that one.
Yeah, I like her. Yeah. However, imaging PET and fMRI scans has shown that this isn't true. In reality, the entire human brain is constantly active, even when we are sleeping. While this belief is definitely false, there are plenty of more, you know, facts and different things that we are still discovering about the brain.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, literally almost every day.
Yes. Still a big mystery, yep.
The science is getting better and stronger, and at the same time, there's so much about it that we can't find out, and unfortunately, until after death.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, so much of, you know, rabies and these kind of diseases. Mm-hmm. We can't find out until then.
Yeah.
But it has always seemed a little silly to me that we would only be able to use 10% of the brain.
Right.
Yeah. Where I think this myth comes from is that we don't understand the brain, that we're still trying to understand so much of how it works.
Yes.
It wasn't until recently, and by recently, I guess I mean probably the past 5-10 years, somewhere between there, that the whole hemisphere myth was put to the wayside.
Finally, yes.
The idea that one part of our brain is creative and the other part is factual or this kind of thing, when now we have found out that it's the whole brain that, you know, is this way. It does bits of each.
All over the brain, all throughout it. Yeah. I mean, they've tried so hard to find. I mean, it goes back to like phrenology, you know, like, ooh, this side of your head has bumps over here. This means something. Well, we're finding out, the brain is just a large mass and it's got centers and things all over the place. And it's, like you said, we're learning more, but the mystery deepens even the more we learn. Yeah. So, yeah.
The more we know, the less we actually know.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We will take a break on that note. We'll come back and have some more fun on mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Looking at the temperatures in your neck of the woods, it is 59 in Stevens Point, 57 in Marshfield, Wausau, here in Wisconsin Rapids. You got Melissa, Seth, and James here. We're taking you through your morning on WFHR, and got an interesting one here. The average American has 13 shows and 16 movies on their watch list.
Oh, interesting.
Really?
There just is not enough time to take care of all the stresses of the day to just binge out on shows or just zone out on something. So most of us have quite a few things on our list. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you I've got twice as that. I've got twice
you probably
that
do, yeah.
According to a new poll, the average person has 13 shows, 16 movies on their watch list, which is about 104 hours worth of content. And 68% of us think it'll be nearly impossible to get through it all.
I agree.
Yep. Now, there is a list here of the top 15 shows on people's watch list.
Oh, interesting.
So I thought this would be kind of interesting to go through maybe like that, you know, a handful of these. And then I'll ask you guys if you've got how your watch list it looks.
Sure.
So number one on the list, Stranger Things. 24% of people have that on their watch list.
Mm, makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones, 21% of people have that one on there.
Mm-hmm.
The Walking Dead also with number three with 21%.
Oh, wow. That's up quite high. Interesting.
Breaking Bad, number four, with 19%.
Oh, wow.
And Squid Game, 19% with that one.
Okay.
Now, outside of Squid Game, even though that is over a year old now,
right?
You're seeing, they just had a recent season of Stranger Things, but that was at the beginning of summer.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones hasn't been on in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. The Walking Dead ended their season, I think, right before the start of the summer or somewhere around there.
I can't remember.
And they're going into their final season. So mm-hmm. It's interesting to see this mix of old shows and new.
Yeah, it's one of those. Well, I'm guessing it's people haven't had a chance to do it. They're just catching up, and who knows how long they've been on their watch list. They could have put it when the show came out, and they just haven't gotten to it yet.
That's exactly the case for me with number four. I hate admitting this, but I have not finished Breaking Bad.
I
watched like the first couple of episodes, really got into it, really liked it, and there was like 90 other shows I was trying to watch, and AMC didn't really have like a way to like watch it online, like on your own time.
At the time, right? Yeah.
So the next thing I know, they're going into their final season. I'm like, what?
I had
no
idea.
It was a great show.
Yeah.
Really good show. It was just a matter of I just don't have that kind of time to be able to watch. I had to pick and choose. Like all of us do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Number six on the list, The Crown. 18% of people have that on their list.
Okay.
The Marvelous Miss Maisel, also at 18%, along with Euphoria, The Mandalorian, and Better Call Saul.
Wow, okay. I'm surprised The Mandalorian is on there just because of the fan base.
Yes.
You know, it's one of those things where like, oh, we're gonna watch it right away kind of thing. So that's interesting. I wonder if that's more people that are like not really into Star Wars. They heard some good things. Oh, The Mandalorian sounds really good. Let's just check it out. But they just haven't gotten around to it.
I think that's go ahead.
Yeah, or it's like the people who have these things on their list and just haven't gotten to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
really
want to see them.
Yeah.
It is interesting. That's the one that stands out to me on this list because of what Seth was saying there, though, because that Star Wars fan base, it does. Especially so many of us grew up like Seth and I did, where we were begging for just like anything new, like anything.
Yeah.
And now the influx of energy, like you can't go a week without something new from Star Wars coming out.
Right.
But part of the reason that Disney is continuing to do that is because that fan base is responding. The content is there. They're streaming these things instantaneously. Some people stay up until midnight just so they can watch the newest
as
episode.
As soon as it drops,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've done that. I believe I've done that.
No.
Mandalorian's really good.
It is good.
It's the old West put in Star Wars. It's awesome.
It is.
Better Call Saul is interesting. That's the first kind of like, not sequel, but kind of spinoff.
Spinoff, yeah.
And that's a spinoff, of course.
Of Breaking Bad,
yeah. Number 11, I think, is maybe the most interesting one on this list. Friends. 17% of people have that on their watch list.
Friends?
That they have not watched Friends yet, but they're gonna get to it. They're gonna get to it.
I am still amazed at the staying power of that show.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't either.
I'm completely honest. I don't get it.
It's a little astonishing.
I'll say this. I don't think that the show Friends was ever marketed towards me or people like me.
No.
There is, I think, like two ethnic people that have showed up on that show in like the history of its run. And I'm not saying that to pick on it or be mean. I'm just being honest. It was not a reality. It wasn't a show that really tried to appeal to people like
Me.
It wasn't even that it did. They didn't even bother. They weren't trying to hit us as an audience. And that's fine. That's okay. But it is what it is. And it's interesting to me that a random TV show would show up on this list. Most of these are dramas. Most of these are serious shows or shows that you can't just jump in and start watching.
Right.
Now, as I've admitted, I haven't seen Friends, so I don't know this, but network TV, usually they have shows that you can just kind of jump in. You don't have to know everything that's going on in the storyline to be able to just jump into a Friends episode and just catch what's going on.
The other thing is Friends has been on syndication forever.
Yeah. Right.
Ever since it was still on the air, it was in syndication, which means you can catch it on who knows how many channels. And that's why it's like when you contrast that with Seinfeld, let's say, which has also been in syndication forever, but was considered one of the best shows of the 90s. Friends was never considered one of the best shows, but it can still. It's amazing.
It's just so popular.
It is. Wow.
Yeah, and regardless of what I or some people think of it isn't really slowed down.
No,
that much.
It hasn't.
How long until they try to pull up Friends 2? How long until they have that as a TV show?
I give it a few more years, then they're going to do it because they're going to see the dollar signs. They're going to say, this is going to be make us a gajillion dollars. So,
outside of Jennifer Aniston, none of them are working. Like nobody's
not regularly.
Really working. Yeah, nobody's got a staying gig or anything.
And will they do it with the original cast members, or will they try to recreate it and do like the pre-Friends?
Yeah.
Like do it when they're teenagers and do it on like Nickelodeon or something like that.
Or just do the same thing with an ethnic cast, with, you know, like recast as, you know, like the Asian one and then the Latin one. You know what, what they generally
do. I will bet $5 that is what's going to happen.
Probably.
You know, it's kind of one of those things where as much as I want to poke fun at it and everything, it's been working. Like a lot of that has been working. So, you know, to each their own.
It is what it is.
Sherlock shows up on this list at 16%, along with Succession and Ted Lasso. So wrap it up.
Oh, Sherlock is an older show.
Yeah.
That's another interesting one on that list. Wow, interesting.
Anybody that's got Sherlock on their watch list, I will tell you this, one of the greatest, top 10 greatest shows I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like now, we're talking about the Benedict Cumberbatch one,
The BBC show, Sherlock.
Yep.
Yeah. If you are a fan of the Arthur Conan Doyle character of Sherlock and Watson, you've never seen them like this before, and you arguably have never seen them, well, unless you saw Baskerville, you've never seen Sherlock acted better.
I like that one.
I had to. Nice.
I should have been silent, just like crickets. You know.
Yeah. No, there's no way I come even close to Benedict Cumberbatch. He's the greatest actor in the world.
That's right.
Now.
And the chemistry between him and Martin Freeman, I mean, is amazing. Yeah,
it's so darn good. Yeah. It is really such good. A great show. And I love that when they can reimagine a character and like hit the mark
right on.
And they so did with that one. They so did. And again, you have two of the greatest actors in the world right now. Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman. And I believe they are still going to make episodes. I don't think that they've completely wrapped it up yet. They're trying to figure it out scheduling wise, but yeah, whatever you think of, like, I don't think there's a whole lot of thought about Benedict Cumberbatch, but if you like him, you don't, what have you, you got to respect his game, because this is a guy, he doesn't have to keep doing BBC stuff, but he does, because he's such an honor and respect to the people that helped him get his start.
Yep.
And wants to continue to give back and everything. It's like when you see a big name actor do public television, essentially, is what it's like.
It is.
Show up on Sesame Street or something. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect for that. Succession is one of those shows that people will not stop talking about. They will only stop talking about it long enough to talk about Ted Lasso. Like, so both those shows, I could see that. I was expecting them to be higher on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Those are shows that I know people are talking about, but you know, haven't been able to see yet some.
Right.
I notice a lot of these shows, too, are on streaming services.
That is also true, yes.
In fact, I would say outside of Friends, you know, I guess you can make the argument Euphoria is on HBO and The Crown, I think, is on Showtime or something. But really, they become streaming services. Cable channels have become streaming services.
For the most part, correct, yes.
If you need a bigger point to prove this, HBO Max... You know, they come out the gate strong and they're, you know, then the next big streaming service and everything. And part of their under their umbrella of ownership is Discovery and Discovery Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And Discovery Plus got an earlier start on things. And Discovery Plus is killing it in the streaming game.
Mm-hmm.
Huge in the streaming game.
Mm-hmm.
HBO Max has really struggled to get people to join their services.
Interesting.
They haven't lost cable subscribers, but they have had a real trouble with streaming. So what are they doing? They are becoming basically HBO Plus. Like they are.
Yep.
Discovery Plus is swallowing HBO Max, and they're turning it into this like hybrid. But they're really focusing on the Discovery part of it, which is crazy to think of.
They're basically turning it into a cable network.
Right. Yes.
Everything old is new again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Works.
We have some entertainment for you that you can go to for free. All you got to do is call up and win some tickets. Seth, tell them about this great thing that the Cedars Project is pulling off.
That's right. This Friday and Saturday, coming up in just a couple of days, it is a weekend of music hosted by the Cedars Project, which is a co-op that focuses on connecting community members with artists and local business owners in order to help one another grow and build sustainable projects. The Cedar Festival takes place in Little Chute on the hillside overlooking Doyle Park and the Fox River. I have not been. I've been to Little Chute. I've not been to that specific park, but part of Little Chute. But from what I've heard, it's a lovely spot.
It is. It is.
So if you want more information, if you want to check out tickets, if you want to purchase them, thecedarsproject.com is the website to go to. This was brought to our attention by Isaiah, who was a contestant in Hoozle's Rise to Music, and he enjoyed the experience so much that he reached out to Steph to partner with us for this, and we are more than happy to do that.
And fresh on the fly, a new food truck in town will be making pizzas using ingredients from their garden. Dirty Laundry Brewing and Stone Arch are sponsoring a selection of beers. People are also welcome to bring your own beer. Mm-hmm. They recommend you bring a lawn chair and a blanket to sit on, and if it rains, no worries. The festival will be moved to inside the pavilion in Doyle Park. We want to send you to this great festival. Call up right now, 424-2600. Win yourself a pair of tickets to go to this great festival, the Cedar Festival, coming up Friday, September 16th and Saturday, September 17th over at 217 Canal Street in Little Chute, Wisconsin. And you can go to thecedarsproject.com. It's all one word, thecedarsproject.com, to find out more information and see all these great bands that are going to be playing for you. Call up right now, 424-2600. You want to win these tickets? 424-2600. Call up right now, and we'll take a winner, and then we'll come back with that after Melissa's news on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Your host, James J., here at 9:38 on the clock. I'm joined by Seth Habacker.
Morning, everyone.
And Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
We hope you're having a great day out there. We've been joined by a bunch of good friends. We want to say a big thank you to Gary, who just won himself a pair of tickets to go to the Cedar Festival, September 16th and 17th. Find out more at the cedarsproject.com. That's one word, thecedarsproject.com. Go there and help support this great festival. Mm-hmm. Get your tickets and go to that event. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Get some beer and pizza without having to help someone move.
Yeah.
It's easy to do it.
There you go. This next one. And look, we understand that sometimes, especially in recent months, our airwaves can be, you know, we talk about subjects and we have subjects that we tackle that not everybody will. It's representation, and it's something that needed to be done a long time ago, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of it. I'm proud of our station. I'm proud of what the content we're putting out there and pumping out there. But every once in a while, we have to talk about something, a subject that can be a little divisive and kind of separate us. So I want us to keep in mind that we are all connected in this next conversation. We're going to talk about microwave popcorn. And
do we dare?
Yes, we are going to chant. We are going to take on this subject, everybody. That's the braveness that we show here on the morning show.
Fearless.
See? Fearless.
Fearless
and buttery.
And buttery. Yes. Yes, Mel. And buttery. Yes.
Fearless and buttery. That sounds like a band name.
It does. New band name. Yep. Calling it. Yep. Fearless and buttery. Going to be showing, opening up for. That was good. Did you know that microwaves have been common since the 1960s? But microwave popcorn wasn't introduced until 1982.
Ooh.
And at first, it wasn't self-stable. So it had to be refrigerated or frozen.
Really? Oh, wow.
I don't remember that.
Huh. Neither do I.
The website uprocks.com recently conducted a blind taste test of 11 different brands of microwave popcorn and ranked them based on texture, smell, and overall balance of flavors.
Okay.
They sought out the buttered varieties and did not consider healthiness.
Smart.
Let's do that, yes.
Although, yep. And I don't want to pretend like I know this, but I have heard that like stripped down popcorn can be good for you. Like without the butter and all the added stuff.
Yes, it can, as a matter of fact. Yes.
I wasn't sure, but I thought I'd heard that.
Calorie snack.
Yep, you can turn it into cereal if you wanted to without the butter and the salt. Yep.
Are you guys popcorn fans?
Yeah, pretty well. Yes and no. I mean, yeah, I'll eat it if it's there. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. Yeah,
Melissa, I heard you say yes.
Yeah, I like popcorn a lot.
Yeah, me too. I'm a fan. I just don't eat it a lot. I notice. Yeah, but I do like it. So, looking at the results from best to worst, let's go ahead and look at this list. Do you want to go bottom or start at the bottom or top here?
Bottom.
Yeah, let's start at number 11. Skinny Bop butter. They said if you've eaten popcorn and ever thought it was bad, you probably are eating Skinny Bop.
Wow.
Dang.
That's a hot take right there.
Yeah, Woo. Yeah. Wow.
Snap.
I've had that before, and honestly, it didn't taste that different to me. Like, it didn't really, I don't know. Number 10, Simple Truth Organic. And again, these are all buttered flavored. They just stuck with the butter flavor. I'm not going to repeat that after every one of these. But yeah, Simple Truth Organic. I want to try that. I've seen it, but I've
never
tried
had it before. Yeah.
I haven't either.
That one does look interesting.
Yeah.
Pop Secret Movie Theater Version.
Oh, yeah. I've had that one.
I would put that a little higher. I actually like Pop Secret. I think they're pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that one. Yeah. As far as like a lot of these brands go, I would put that in my top three, top four.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And I probably would put this ahead of it, although I forgot all about it, Act Two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about that, too.
I forgot all about that. Yeah. I love that popcorn.
It's good stuff.
That's a very common one.
Yeah. I forgot all about it. And they have that in number 8 on this list.
Wow.
Market Pantry, number 7.
Market. Never heard of it.
Nope. Never heard of it.
That sounds like a store brand to me, of like Target or maybe or something like that. Yeah.
That makes sense because the next couple are like that. Number 6 on the list, Whole Foods. Yeah. And number 5, Trader Joe's.
Yeah, those are yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it continues with some of that, too. Now, Jolly Time, I'm not sure what that is. That sounds like a brand.
It is a brand.
Like a store brand, yeah.
I've had that before, too, and it's okay. I'm kind of surprised it's that high on the list, but anyway.
I do think you need to be careful if you are eating Jolly Time popcorn with Jolly Ranchers, and Jolly Good Soda.
Jolly Good Soda.
You may overdose on Jolly. It is a possibility. So just keep that in mind if you're trying to do all three.
You may turn into Santa Claus.
You could.
Don't wear red. Yeah. Don't wear red.
Don't wear red.
I've heard that's how Santa they find the next Santa.
That's what they need. Yeah.
Number 3, Kroger movie theater. Now, that's a big chain.
Yes, exactly.
Krogers are all over. They're basically think of our IGA.
As a matter of fact, our Pick and Save in town is owned by Kroger now.
Kroger.
They own all of the old Roundies. They bought the Roundies Corporation.
When did that? How did they miss that?
That happened like a year or two ago. It's been recent.
Okay, yeah.
Now Kroger is in our community now. So
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh. They have invaded.
They have invaded.
I didn't realize that. And number 2 on the list, Cousin Willie's.
Never heard of it.
I've never heard of that. I love that it's just that high on the list, and none of us have any idea what it is.
We're going to have to look that up now. What's so big about Cousin Willie's?
Now, I can't prove this, but I just hearing that, wish that it was like Willie Nelson's...
Yeah.
How great would it be?
How on brand would it be for Willie Nelson to have a snack? Have a snack named after him. I mean,
he is an uncle to us all.
Yeah, he really is.
So he, Uncle Willie, come on. Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
That turns out it's actually a brand, a Cousin Willie's original popcorn, family-grown popcorn since 1944.
I wonder how much it costs.
There is a Cousin Willie's smokehouse that I think this is based out of.
Oh, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I see that they got a bunch of those in Florida. Okay.
Okay.
And number 1 on the list, the standard Orville Rettenbacher.
Was going to be you're right, that is kind of the standard bearer, so yeah.
Quote, in addition to the greatly buttery flavor, the fluffy texture and consistent popping make it so that your first handful of popcorn is as good as what's at the bottom of the bag.
There you go.
As a child, there was few things that frustrated me more than the uncooked kernels at the bottom of the bag and trying to find the perfect time on the microwave to get them all popped. Or did you, you're sitting there by the microwave listening for the final pops?
And you go just 3 seconds too long.
Yep.
And it's burnt.
Oh, man. Every other time that happened to me.
You guys are weird. What are you doing with your time here? What are you doing?
You're the perfect bag of popcorn.
Yep. No. Yep. Get an air popper then. Come on. Don't use the microwave. If you want to do real popcorn, get an air popper. Come on.
Jeez. Are those called old maids? Did you guys call them that?
I've heard that. I haven't heard it probably in ages, but I have heard that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The popcorn I had growing up was in this old, I mean, we're talking, oh, I don't know when this thing was created. It was red. It had a handle, and it was that you put the oil in the bottom, and it popped up, and then the lid, you know, would pop over, and then that's where, you know, that's what we used. We had a microwave, but we never used, actually, it had its own electronic source, electric source.
Oh.
But it was so old. Must have been from like this 50s, I think.
I also I can't get over how dangerous some of those popcorn makers used to be.
So hot. Yeah. Like they would get so hot.
Like the surface of the sun, it maybe like could match the hotness of some of those yeah. microwaves or popcorn makers.
Those popcorn makers. Yeah, yeah. Well, just one quick question before we move on. Is Jiffy Pop still around? Can you still get Jiffy Pop?
I thought so. I'm almost positive.
You absolutely can.
Yeah. When you're going camping, you got to bring the Jiffy Pop with you. You can cook it over the
fire. Yep. I can't think of why Jiffy Pop didn't make that survey. I really can't. I'm a little surprised by that one. But I will say Orville Redenbacher, I've never had a bad
bag of me that, neither. So I do good stuff.
I do add to that. Yeah. Yeah. We will take a break right here. We come back. We got good stories of the day, and we have one of the most weirdest, dangerous, that ain't right stories we've ever done.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's coming up on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. 9:50 on the clock, going to take it to the top of the hour, where at 10:05, we are going to welcome in our guests for Morning Magazine for the day. In part one, we're going to have our friends from Family Natural Foods set up a great interview. Rob's going to join us from the Food Movement Company. We're going to talk about them and some of the great items that they have for sale over at Family Natural Foods and what makes those items stand out.
Very cool.
And at 10:30, Encourage is going to join us. Kim Shields from Encourage will be with us, along with Laura Martins, and Katie Kiyosaki is going to be with us.
Cool.
It's going to be a great conversation. Right there, both of them. We encourage you to stick around for those.
Mm-hmm.
Getting into that ain't right story, and this is a Hall of Fame that ain't right story, everybody. I am putting this in our list of stories at the end of the year that we come back to kind of rehash. Mm-hmm. This is a. I know in today's society you're not supposed to use word idiot or dumb or stupid or anything like that. Why were these words invented then?
Because
these two people, if you've got a better word for these two people that you can say on the radio, please go ahead and send it to me. Two Wendy's employees were headed to work in Pennsylvania two Fridays ago, and they came up with a really sophisticated plan to make sure that they had an easy night shift.
Okay.
They pulled over at a railroad crossing and put a device on the tracks that made the wooden railroad crossing's arms malfunction. It actually ended up disabling them completely, so someone could have driven over the tracks with no idea a train was coming.
Oh, no.
One of them was a woman named Amy, but it sounds like the mastermind was a 35-year-old named Ryan. I'm not giving their last names because they don't deserve 5 seconds of fame. They told cops they thought that if the gates malfunctioned and blocked traffic, it would, quote, prevent people from getting to Wendy's and they could have a slow night at work.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They're facing some pretty big charges, criminal mischief, reckless endangerment, and causing a couple of other things.
Right, because I think specifically doing that is an offense. You can't mess with that; those kind of signals.
You can't mess with any railroad crossings any more than you can mess with a stop sign.
Traffic lights or anything like that. You cannot mess with those. No.
They're all under the same umbrella.
Public safety.
Exactly. Mm. Wow.
I have done this very little in my life, and I'm not saying this in any noble way. I'm just saying it because I have a crazy work ethic. I've only really called into work like a handful of times in my life, but I do remember in school I would try to play sick. I'll admit that I did a couple of times, and my mom caught me every time I did.
Of course,
We can all relate to the idea of wanting an easy day at work or wanting a slower day or something like that.
Right.
I'm not begrudging that part of the story. But what the what? At what point? Like, you would think while you're actually going up, walking up to the railroad, like you'd have a conscious thought of like, wait a minute, what are we doing? Wait, whoa, slow down. What are we doing here?
This is really stupid. What are we doing?
Like, we are dumb. We are being very dumb right now. Like,
yeah.
Man, I am not always in favor of this. Throw the dang book at them. Throw the dang book at
those
people.
I'm sorry.
They never even took people's safety into it.
No.
It didn't cross their mind.
First of all, it wouldn't have worked.
No, it wouldn't have worked.
First of all, second of all, you're right. They're already still. How many train accidents of trains running into cars are there still in this day and age? Yeah.
Right.
And you make it. You were right. That was my good. Oh man, that's more ridiculous than.
Yeah. So we shift gears to some good stories of the day and a good quote of the day. I thought we would kick it off with, where there are bees, there are flowers. And wherever there are flowers, there is new life and hope. Christy Lefferty.
Oh, that's a wonderful quote.
I like that one. Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. Nice.
Some other good stuff for the day. A guy from Ohio named Brad Ryan has spent the last 7 years taking his grandmother to every national park. Her name is Joy, and she's 92. They've been to 62 of 63 parks.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
Their last one is National Park of America, Samoa.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. That is wonderful.
That's beautiful.
That's just good on him for doing that. That's just wonderful.
That's a dream of mine, and that is really cool to hear. That is so darn cool. Yeah. A 44-year-old single dad from Ohio is going viral after he planned a trip to an amusement park with his daughter and her friend and posted a TikTok video trying to find a date. He posted another one later, and it looks like he found one.
All right.
Nice job.
What's going on in Ohio? That's like two in a row.
And that was, that's actually, I think, pretty creative.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty smart on his part. But nicely done. A woman in Maryland accidentally bought lottery tickets for the wrong drawing the other day. But I guess it was the right drawing after all, because one of the tickets hit on $50,000.
Nice.
Yeah, that would never happen to me. Anyway.
No, never. Not you or
Lisa.
So
I'm not buying
neither one of
tickets.
Us.
Nope.
A kennel in Alabama filled up with chemical fumes on Monday and had to be evacuated, but all 26 dogs inside made it out.
Excellent.
Half had to be taken to the roof to get out of the fumes, and firefighters used a ladder truck to save them. There is a little bit of video of that. It is remarkable. First up, there's a funny part of it with these dogs where they don't look scared. They look confused. They're like, why am I on the roof? I'm not supposed to be up here. It's kind of a funny little moment in a sense because, you know, I don't know if this is common or not, but dogs don't look up. they can't look up, really.
Yeah.
They don't really do that. So you put them that high off the ground, and they are freaking out.
Their perspective is completely different. Yeah. They're not, it's like, what is it? Whoa.
More importantly, you watch that video, and you're going to get a glimpse into what it is like to be a firefighter and why we appreciate our firefighters so darn much and thank them so darn much.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
It is a really remarkable moment to see this happen. The thing that is just scary brilliant about it is when they are so good at their job, how efficient they are the firemen.
Yep.
And quickly. And a shout out to that place too, of being able to get those animals out and
quick
do
thinking,
that.
Quick acting, yep.
Well done. A woman in Virginia went on a trip a couple months ago, and her husband joked that he'd call if that he'd call if he won the lottery. Then she got a call after he won $227,000. He says it was hard to convince her it wasn't a joke.
Oh, I bet.
That would make sense. Yeah.
She pretty much didn't believe him for the majority of the time that he was on vacation until he got home and everything.
James, what are you doing here? What's all these lotto things here? What are you trying to do?
I know. I don't know if these are technically good stories. I don't know. A delivery guy spent 6 hours hiking up Mount Fuji in Japan to bring some tourists food they ordered.
Really?
That's dedication. Man, wow.
Man, that tip better be good.
I hope it's a really big tip. Yeah, good for
good
you.
Tip. Yeah.
Mount Fuji is huge.
Again, though, that is one of those things I would love to do one day.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I would absolutely, too.
Order delivery when you're on a mountain.
Yes. Okay. Exactly.
Watch out, Pike's Peak. I'm going to Pike's Peak, and I'm going to order pizza.
A guy in Nebraska named Dwayne Hansen broke a world record on a couple Saturdays ago by hollowing out a giant pumpkin he grew, using it as a boat, and paddling 41 miles down the Mississippi River. The previous record was just over 25 miles.
Wait, someone did this before?
Yeah. His adult daughter got pretty emotional in an interview. She said he's always told her you can do anything if you put your mind to it, and she's really proud of him.
Wow. That is just cool. How do you come up with that idea? But still, awesome. Awesome.
I don't know what's more remarkable. He was able to do this, or he got his teenage daughter to be impressed by him.
That. And then where did he get the giant pumpkin?
Yeah.
Did he grow it? Did it say he grew it?
He grew it, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That had to be a big pumpkin.
That is pretty cool.
Big pumpkin. Wow.
Makes you think about Nakusa and our giant pumpkin festival we'll have coming up next month. The corner. Be on the lookout for that.
Mm-hmm.
And be listening for Morning Magazine coming up in just a little bit, everybody. We are looking forward to Morning Magazine today. We're going to welcome in our new friend Rob from the Food Movement, thanks to Family Natural Foods. We're going to catch up with the gang from Encourage. All that coming up in a matter of minutes, less than 5 minutes from now. We'll be getting to that. CBS News coming up, of course, as well. And be listening tomorrow. Where Seth and I will have the show together Friday. It'll be Terry and I. We've got a bunch of fun stuff that we're going to be talking about and getting into in the next couple of days. You two have a great day.
You too.
You too, James.
Be good to each other out there, and we'll talk to you soon and later right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. We are locally grown radio.